Welcome to Escape to the Magic Podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Randy.
I am Dak.
And this is Ryan.
And every once in a while, I also show up for an episode.
Welcome back,
it's good
buddy.
To have you back, Randy.
Yeah. Thanks, fellas. Listen, I've missed you.
Yeah,
we've missed you.
Like, literally, I've missed you, but I hate to say it, my paying job demanded my services.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we totally get it. There's always going to be a challenge when it comes to scheduling three different calendars and matching them up. So we're just glad that we get to record with you and hang out with you tonight. And
well, it's a lot of fun. You know, I think a lot of our listeners know, you know, we live in the Houston, Texas area, recently experienced a hurricane come right through town.
Literally
right through town, which hasn't happened in 38 years, I believe, something like that, or more.
Yeah.
But anyways, it's been an interesting thing. My job professionally, I work for the city of Houston, leading the public works department, and the result of that meant I was very busy, and that's where I had to be. But you know, I love the fact that we're able to get together. We're now in recovery mode in the city, and this is part of my escape.
Yeah. this is the whole point of the show, right? It's like we all have these stress points in our life, and you know, anytime we can talk Disney and you know, escape for 45 minutes or an hour or so, that's a good day.
It's interesting because if you pull up my Instagram at any given point, like everything, all of the reels, if you just scroll through it, like every single one of them is like some Disney joke related sort of thing, right? Like that is my escape. I don't get a chance to get on very often and do other stuff, but that's my escape. And it's really interesting how some of the things we've talked about here, I have let creep into other areas of my life. Let me give you an example. I was speaking in church this last week, and was talking a little bit about how the weather and things can be unpredictable, and somehow it just perfectly played into the fact that you need to manage your expectations.
That's awesome.
And as you all know, that's the one thing I preach more than anything else on this show, is to manage your expectations. And I was talking about being prepared, right? Your physical and, you know, it was at church, your spiritual preparedness, right?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I was talking about how you need to manage your expectations, right? Just like when you go to Florida and you know you're going to be there in the summer, that the weather is going to be all over the place. It's going to be hot and miserable, and then it's going to be pouring rain, and then it's going to be hot and miserable and steamy.
Yeah.
And you need to be aware of that. And so I just appreciate the fact that we get to get together and do this and escape to the magic. And there's no more magical topic that we could talk about probably than eight of the things we love the most about Fantasyland.
Yeah, so I'm excited to have you here for this episode. Ryan and I did Main Street, eight things we love the most about Main Street. Then a couple of weeks ago, we did the Adventureland. And so now Fantasyland, which I think is one of the main lands of Magic Kingdom and of Disneyland. So we're going to cover both, what we love the most about Fantasyland in both Disneyland and Disney World, but we're going to keep it to eight things that we love the most. But I'm excited to have you here for this because, you know, Ryan and I agree too much with each other.
Yeah.
And so we need a little banter.
I noticed that when I listen back. I'm well, like, hey, wait a second. Where's the voice of reason in this conversation?
Exactly.
Someone needs to rein it in here.
We do need some more dissent from, you know, one another.
Yes.
A little more contradiction.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Speaking of
a few more facts. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, there you go. So speaking of Fantasyland, do you guys remember when New Fantasyland opened up at Disney World? You know how long it's been now?
It's been almost a decade. I think it's been exactly a decade.
It's been
now,
12
right?
years.
12 years?
Yeah, I think it was November of 2012.
Wow.
So if you've just started going to the parks within the past 12 years, you don't remember or you don't know Disney World without New Fantasyland. How when you got to the castle.
That's me.
You never saw it?
I never saw the old Fantasyland. We've always been there since like
Seven Dwarfs
Mine Train has been in place and all of that.
So my family only actually, I went to Disney World once, pre-New Fantasyland, and then we didn't really start going as a family until 2015.
Yeah,
right. That's about the time that kids we felt like were just old enough that we could do this and we could handle all four of them, et cetera. So, yeah, 2015 is when we started, and that was.
Yeah, I can't imagine it without New Fantasyland. We started going around that 2012-2013 mark, and it was just a lot of construction.
Fencing, wow.
You know, and you could see the Beast Castle up in the in the distance. You're like, man, that's a huge castle.
You know what else? I can't imagine it without Tron.
Yeah.
Point being, it's easy to forget the past.
It's easy to forget the past.
Yeah.
Eight Things About Tomorrowland is coming up in the future.
That's right. That's right. Well, let's get into it.
Okay.
Let's get into a little bit of a discussion. So maybe we just kind of take some of our favorite things and go around the horn here and talk about each one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
start us off, Dak.
I'll start us off. So speaking of Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, I love that ride.
Mm.
I wish it was a little bit longer. I mean, I think all of us.
A little bit meaning like three times as long.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. By little, I mean three times as long. It's just, you know, from the very first time to even if I went and rode it today, I just love how smooth and easygoing that coaster is. I think it's a great introduction coaster for maybe one of your little ones that are going on a coaster for the first time. It's not going to whip them around, I don't think, in my opinion, too much. And just that nice sway that it has mm-hmm. in the mine cars are just, mine yeah. train cars are just, it's just a fun ride to me. Very easy, enjoyable ride. So that would be one of my top things that I love the most about Fantasyland.
I like that too. I will say that the mine car seating arrangement is not the best. It's a little tight fit. And I'm 6'3", and if I were 6'4", it'd be a struggle.
No, for sure.
To fit in that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. for sure. Mm-hmm. I would agree with that.
One of the things is, so we talk about New Fantasyland. Can you imagine right when it opened, people got on that and they're just like, oh, this is the future of roller coasters. This was the first time we ever got on a coaster that was that smooth.
Yeah.
And I would submit to y'all that probably aside from Guardians, I don't think there's a smoother coaster out there. Even Tron, I don't think, is as smooth as Seven Dwarfs. It's so smooth, it's actually quiet.
Yeah, true.
Interestingly enough, there's not the scream of steel on steel, but I love it. Let me ask you this question. Do you guys ever ride it and not sing along with Hi Ho?
You have to.
Or Yodelay Hee Hoo at the end?
Yodelay Hee Hoo.
At the top of your voice, even. It's not like you're not singing, you know, Hi Ho. Like, yeah. I am belting it out, you know, as if I was in the opera.
Well, for sure. And then you bring up another point that is great about that ride is that was one of the first times they used that projection mapping for the animatronics. And so it just makes those dwarves in the mine just so realistic. And so it's the next gen, basically, of animatronics. And it's just a great ride.
I didn't know until our guys trip in January that you could do the projection on the ceiling in the queue with the spinny thingies.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that. That's the first time.
Spin barrels and Snow White appears.
That's the first time I've ever seen that.
All seven of them spinning at once.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's the key, right?
Yeah.
You know, for seven dwarves, each of the gems. I do want to say, I forgot it. I'll say it in a second when it comes back to me.
Well, the nice thing about the spinning gems is it takes a group, right? Like, and most of the time your group is not big enough.
Yeah.
So
it takes
a little bit of teamwork, right? And
teamwork,
so I always love that. Anytime the crowd gets going together is a great experience at Disney World. When like perfect strangers are working together to accomplish your goal.
Well, you say it as if it's so easy. I usually get stuck with the group who does not speak any English.
Yeah, no.
And they're like, right, what do you want me to do? And I'm like, spin the barrel, the barrel. Here's what I was going to say though. One of the things I love about this ride, not one, but two pictures. Two photo pass pictures are snapped, and they get it in motion as well. So there's a little bit of video that goes with it. That was the first time they started doing that.
Well,
love
that's
it.
Right, yeah.
I think it's so awesome. I think there is no excuse for every ride not to have at least one, if not two, motion photo pass opportunities.
There. Yeah, for sure. For sure. All right. Seven Dwarfs. That's
Seven Dwarfs is number one.
Yeah.
All right. I'll go. I've got one of my favorite things about Fantasyland is Gaston's Tavern. And we've talked about this. I don't want to beat this with the stick, but the LeFou's Brew, top five treat for me,
man,
in all
dinner.
Of Disney World. That that toasted marshmallow topping.
Oh my gosh. Fruit cream.
The guaranteed brain freeze that you're going to get with almost every sip. It's that whole area back there. So Gaston's Tavern, and then you have, what's the name of the shop that's right there next to it? They sell things very specific to the Beauty and the Beast story.
Yeah.
They sell some tapestries. They sell some just really neat trinkets related to the Beauty and Beast story. I love that entire area of new Fantasyland. But LeFou's Brew is on my list. Not the cinnamon roll, because that's garbage.
Yeah, see, this is why you guys need me every week. You're full of crap, dude. Like, look, I will give it to you. If you get that cinnamon roll the wrong time of day, if you get a dry one, it's not a great experience. But and I was on a streak of that for a while. The last couple I've had have actually been really, really good.
Okay, so
nice and yeasty, nice and gooey, lots of icing on there.
So, and to that point, next time that I'm going to give it a shot again, because you have talked about the gooiness being there. I've never experienced any gooiness, any warmth. It's just been this flaky, dry disaster
because of a cinnamon roll. I have experienced that before. The last few times I have not. I do think timing has a lot to do with it, right? One thing you got to remember about Gaston's Tavern, it's not open the whole day.
Nope, it closes pretty early.
It closes pretty early, which means that their baking hours are going to be odd, I think. I think that's just going to naturally be part of it. The place isn't run particularly well. It always seems like it's chaos behind the counter. The people were very nice. The cast members were very, very nice. But for whatever reason, it's chaos behind the counter. I do remember my most recent trip. I got a LeFou's Brew. They couldn't find any straws. Like, I was waiting like 10 minutes.
Well,
they're like,
don't
we're
want
finding
those paper
some straws.
Yeah.
Well, that's all they had, my friend. And there was no other way to drink it, right?
Yeah, you sip it.
Yeah, well, if you want to put all of the cream in your face while you do that, okay. You know, you got to get down there a little bit. Anyways, I love LeFou's Brew. I do like the cinnamon roll. You guys are glad I'm back.
Yeah. I was going to say one thing that I love about that area. So the name of that store, Ryan, is Bonjour Village Gifts.
That's right.
But right outside of that, Bonjour, is...
Hey, how do you say patisserie? Can you say it?
No.
Patisserie?
That's another episode. Yes. Have you guys ever met Gaston out there?
No, so that's but I sat natural, in his chair.
Yeah, yeah. Ooh, really? So, quick funny story about
in
that.
Gaston's Tavern, his chair's in there. You
yes,
can
his
sit in it right
in
underneath
yeah,
the picture of him,
that's another thing that's cool
him,
about
right?
that
That's
place.
A cool thing. Yeah.
So, one time we're meeting Gaston out there, and this little girl, not with our group, but this little girl comes up to him. It's her turn to visit with him. And she's like, hey, someone's sitting in your chair. And this dude stayed in character the whole time. He was like, what? And he screaming, kicks the door open, goes in there, starts screaming. You can hear him screaming from out in the line. It was awesome.
That's
like
amazing.
This guy was by far the number one Gaston we've
I've
ever
never seen that.
Yeah, yeah. It was great. So good call on that area for sure. Randy, what you got?
Number three, I'm going to go with this. I'm going to go with The Sword and the Stone.
Whoa. Okay.
What's more iconic than that,
nothing.
Right? Think about it, y'all. Like, what was, I'm just guessing, but it was for me. Like, what was the number one Disney cartoon you watched growing up, right? Peach Dragon. Sword and the Stone.
Yeah.
Those sorts of things. Anything involving dragons, wizards, magic, and stuff. That's always been a thing. I love The Sword and the Stone, though. The movie, the story. It's awesome.
Have you ever pulled it?
I have pulled it once a long, long time ago.
And it came, it like it...
It comes up partially.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It doesn't go all the way.
It doesn't go all the way.
That's the thing.
Right,
so for the most part, you go and you get it, and it's just locked in place.
Yeah.
Some people say there's a trick.
I don't believe that.
I don't think there's really a trick. I think it's just timing.
Yeah.
I think that at a certain point, it's like, hey, you're the 1,000th puller today. You win. And you get it for a little bit.
Agreed,
and, you know, then it goes down, and it's locked back in place. You can't pull it back up sort of a thing. So... it's just awesome, though. I've seen people do it. It's kind of cool. There's a while I was like, I don't think it does it anymore, but I've seen videos.
Well, and
it doesn't come up a lot. So that's the thing is I want to manage expectations. Okay. Don't think you're pulling the sword out.
Oh, I think of all the times I've been there, I've never seen it happen. And the rumor used to be there was a person there controlling
it. Right.
That, you know, every now and then.
Could be. I don't know. I don't know how it works.
I can't imagine they would hire somebody just to sit there and watch. Hey, well, every 25th person, you push a button and it releases the
way they're paying for that now.
Once upon a time, they could had more people.
Probably
than
the same
they had
guy
sense,
that sat with the spinning camel in the carpets of Aladdin. Right. Yeah,
your new shift is over at the camel.
So I did post a video of you. You and I were doing it.
Yeah,
many. Many
I thought
years
I had
ago.
It.
Yeah.
I thought I thought I was like, oh my gosh, it's just got the wiggle, and I think I even heard you say, oh, he's got it.
Yeah,
and it didn't.
It didn't work.
Yeah. No.
All right,
Sword and Stone.
Yeah, Sword and Stone. I love it.
It's next to the carousel. So if you don't know where that's at, it's right next to Prince Charming Carousel.
All right, so this one, my next one, I know we've kind of bashed on its how good of a actual food it is, but for me, it's Be Our Guest. I love going into that restaurant for the ambiance and the feel there. Again, food level is in question in my opinion, but as far as ambiance and just the way they've decorated that restaurant and the different rooms that you can go into, the West Wing you can go into and see the lightning and all of that and the beast change, and it's just a wonderful theming experience that absolutely is worth doing, even if you maybe have to sacrifice a little bit on the food quality. I just love it. It's such an iconic restaurant as far as theming goes.
100% agree.
I thought we were going to have a little more disagreement with this episode, so but I can't disagree with that.
No, 100% agree with everything you said.
Yeah. It's a very well decorated, very well themed, charming, all the descriptive words you can use.
Listen, if you can get through the rest of the food just to get to dessert, make sure you get the gray stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
Try it. It's delicious.
Yeah.
And is it the same gray stuff they serve at Gaston's Tavern? No, that's a gray stuff cupcake. Never mind.
That's a cupcake. That's a cupcake. This is just straight up. It's just straight up cookies and cream mousse.
Yeah.
I love cookies. If you don't like cookies and cream, you probably won't like this, but I like it.
I love mousse.
I love mousse. I love cookies and cream. It's great. Should be bigger, but I don't know. That'd probably make you sick.
Yeah.
But if you can get to the rest of the food to get to that, then you'll be like, oh, this wasn't so bad. I agree. Food leaves a lot to be desired, but you make up for it in the theme and the atmosphere. You got to do it at least once.
Yeah.
Let me put it that way. At least once. I'm not saying you got to go every time, but you got to do it at least once and experience it. Maybe you got to go 3 or 4 times so you can try and experience each of the different rooms, although you don't really get a choice which room you're sat in.
Right.
You're assigned. But I just think I think it's really cool, and it is a great character meet and greet, right?
To be able
to meet, the beast and get some pictures and stuff like that in his castle. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and I mean they do let you kind of roam around a little bit, so you can kind of wander a little bit and see the other. I guess as long as you're not disturbing anybody else with their meal. But anyways, all right, let's moving on.
Okay, so I'm going to take this conversation to Disneyland real fast.
What?
So. Back in December, I was there with my wife and my brother and his wife, and we watched the fireworks show, and they rope off that back area. So the courtyard behind Sleeping Beauty's castle, they rope off for their fireworks show.
Yeah.
And I say fire, I use that word loosely, because it doesn't compare to Happily Ever After. Anyway, but they rope it off, and they won't let anybody back there while the fireworks are going on, and until about 20 to 30 minutes after the fireworks are over. They wet it down anyway, so we get in line, right? So we get in line, and they have a line for kind of that back courtyard area, and then the rope dropped, and we got to do all the. I loved all the attractions in the Disneyland courtyard right there in Fantasyland behind the castle. Peter Pan's Flight, which is the same as what we have in Disney World,
it's better.
Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, Snow White's Enchanted Wish, Pinocchio's Journey. You know, we did all those. They were all walk on. We did the whole all four of them in about 15 to 20 minutes. You know, it just was really fun. It was nighttime. It was a little cool. We walked through Sleeping Beauty's castle and did that experience. I just thought that was a really charming thing to do. And I would say that one-ups what they have at Disney World.
Whoa.
Give me Disneyland's Fantasyland Courtyard.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, over what Disney World has to offer. That's just my two cents. But one of the things I love about Fantasyland.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. I'm trying to digest. I'm like, well, it sounds like you just took like five attractions.
Well, I will say it's a cluster.
It's very intimate. Let me put it that way. I think if I were to describe it, it's very intimate. It's very close together.
And I think that's the thing. I think the ability to do all five of those attractions within 15 to 20 minutes after the fireworks show, the crowds had really thinned out. And it was just me and my wife and my brother and his wife. And we had a really good time chatting and doing all these attractions together. And it just was really, really fun. So, yeah, maybe at 11:30 on a Saturday Saturday morning, maybe a little different. But that time, that moment was really, really fun.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's cool. I like it.
Yeah.
Good with that.
So, I was trying to do the math, but if we're doing eight, that means that one of us only does two.
We're going to have to do eight.
One of us is going to be shorthand.
So one of us will have to do a bonus one. So eight plus a bonus. Anyways, you already mentioned this, but I got to throw it in there and I got to make sure that it gets credit where credit's due. One of the things I love, specific to Disneyland, is Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
Oh, okay.
Very salty that doesn't exist at Disney World anymore, right? Yeah. But Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, it's one of those things. Again, it's a iconic cartoon I grew up watching. How can you miss out on some of the amazing characters that came out of it? You guys know what some of the most amazing characters came out are?
Well, I do know that as part of that whole show, it also connects with Sleepy Hollow and that
Ichabod's kind of like a and the Headless Horseman story. And all that. It's all tied together. And it's something that it's like the original scary dark ride.
Yeah.
And I just wish we had it at Disney World.
Okay. I'm good with that.
I'm good with that.
I'll stay West Coast as well. And I will say I love the Small World at Disneyland. I love that it's its own facade and that it was original to Walt and all of that. I love that that tie is there. We talked about this on the other show. I love that they added little additional characters in there, which Ryan has apparently never seen before. But
what?
Oh, sorry, I wasn't paying attention. What?
Right, that they put like Stitch and Lilo and Alice and all
the
these little
Disney IP is in there.
Yeah. Anyways, I just love it. I love that they decorate it, and it's a second kind of decorating viewing area for both Christmas and Halloween. I don't know if you guys have ever experienced that, but the Halloween lighting and the Christmas lighting of Small World are
beautiful,
awesome experiences. Very awesome experiences, and so I just love that. We are one of those families. My wife loves Small World just in general. That's just one of her must-do things. And so we go on Small World every single time we go. It's a can't miss for her. And so, could I give up on it? Absolutely. But but I've grown to appreciate it for what it is, as part of that experience. So Small World Disneyland version. Love it.
Yeah, I another one. I wholly agree with you. Not that I dislike the Disney World version, but its location, its presentation, and everything, it lacks the appeal, I think, that you find in California. There's no they didn't add any of the Disney IP into it to make it kind of a little interesting so you can play some games as you go through, because otherwise it does get a little monotonous as you do it. But I tend to think that you're right. That's an original part of the park. This is one of the things that Walt envisioned from the very beginning of what it would do, which is bring people together. That's why he had all those children bring their water from around the world to dump it into the thing, right? Like to say, hey, we're all part of this together. And I think that's the kind of the message that it's trying to send. I like it a lot. I will say that I will only ride it, though, if I have a lightning lane, which is easy to get all day long.
Yeah.
Like they never run out.
Yeah, for sure.
So typically, even if it's the end of the day, you can do that. But I've been tricked by those queues before. They look short. You get in there like, what am I doing? No, just, grab yourself a lightning lane.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. So it's my turn?
Yes.
All right. So
this is number eight.
This is number eight. Okay.
It better be good.
Yeah.
Well, I could go a couple different directions here. I'm going to go with this one. You guys ever watched the fireworks show from behind the castle?
Ooh, yes.
Yeah.
I would say that if you've never done that, that's a pretty unique experience to see the fireworks from that angle. You do feel a little closer to the fireworks.
They're like right above you.
You're not seeing the projection mapping on the castle, yeah. But the music is every bit as loud. The fireworks seem to be a little closer. And obviously it's not as crowded back there. It provides a little different ambiance, a little different experience that, you know, it's magical in its own right. And I would say for me that we've done that probably a couple times. One time actually wasn't even by choice. We just happened to be back there at the time the fireworks were starting. And they don't rope off a ton of that courtyard. They just kind of from the carousel.
Basically the carousel up, you know, that's it.
That's about it. And mm-hmm. It's all wet because they wet it down pre-show.
Right.
So it's just kind of a nice ambiance back there. And oh my gosh, the fireworks are starting. And oh my gosh, they're really close. This is really kind of a neat experience. So yeah, pro tip, if you've never seen the fireworks from behind the castle, you should do it.
Yeah, I think if you're a big firework junkie, like you just really enjoy fireworks, you go to your local fireworks show and all that stuff, you're right, you're going to miss the projection on the castle. But if you love fireworks and just the explosions and all of that, great, great experience behind the castle.
You know, it's cool as you're walking through there and they're going on too. Not, you know, you could stand there and just watch, but you could be walking through. We actually did that one time going through while the Pirates of the Caribbean part was going on, which has a lot of
fantastic
flashing and all sorts of stuff. That was amazing. And then we finished out by watching the fireworks, riding the Barnstormer 9 times in a row without getting off.
Nice.
So it's a cool thing. I agree. I think that's a great way to kind of just mix it up from time to time. As much as I love the fireworks show, as much as I love Happily Ever After, there's also times where I'm like, hey, this is a great opportunity to go do stuff mm-hmm. while everybody else is standing out there, you know, sweating together.
Yeah. Like ride the Barnstormer 9 times in a row.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. And it was, my knees did not like that, but we did it. All right, can I just give a bonus one?
Yeah, throw it out there.
You may not have seen this coming, but I'm going to throw out a bonus one for the Tangled restrooms.
Yes. I'm glad you brought that up because I'm looking at the map and I'm like...
Mic drop.
We missed that.
Nope, we missed it not.
Yes. So did you know that you can play a little hidden Pascal game there? Have you ever seen those?
No.
Yes.
What?
You're making that up.
No, I'm not.
What?
There's like...
Tell me more of this.
Yes.
Game.
Okay. So there are little Pascal statues hidden all in the Tangled area, all throughout the area. And supposedly, I think I've counted them up once. There's like 7, maybe 8 or 9 of them. Great game to play and find.
While you're waiting for someone to come out. Yeah. Why not?
No, yeah. Yeah, and they're all over the place, and they're like, he's different colors, he's up in the flowers, up on the...
How interesting.
Yes.
Okay, I'm seeing
this
now.
It's a great game.
Don't cheat.
It's a great game to play with your little ones, as you're waiting. Plus, that's just a great, like, little rest stop area. They have charging stations.
Yeah.
In my opinion, it used to be a lot better. It's so crowded nowadays.
Oh, yeah.
There used to be a point when they first opened up that area that... It was actually a place for me to go. Like, we could just go rest.
Yeah.
Listen to the Tangled soundtrack music, that area music loop, and there would hardly be anybody over there.
Yeah.
But times have changed, and not everybody goes there, apparently, to play this Pascal finding game.
I go there to use the restroom.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're good restrooms.
Probably, I think, some of the best ones.
Some of the better Magic ones Kingdom. That are out there in Magic Kingdom, I think, for sure. I would, look, put the opposite end of the park, you got the Gaston's Tavern restrooms, right? You know, just the opposite end of the park. But what's great about Tangled is there's some shade there because there's some trees. Mm-hmm. There's usually plenty of places to sit. One part that's not so great, sometimes it's overrun with strollers.
Yes.
It depends on the day. Some days that's where everyone decided to park them and no one did anything about it. And other days, like, there's no strollers there. So, hit and miss, but I just think it's something that's worth mentioning. One of the things when you manage your expectations going into the park is you should try at least have a good idea of where the restrooms are. You're going to need them, and you're going to need to know where the closest one is.
Because if you're in Liberty Square, that is the closest.
Yeah.
That's the closest one.
Bathrooms.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So let's, for a magical scenario, let's just kind of throw it out there and put on our Imagineer hats. So if you could change, alter, bring over something from one park to the other park, do something differently with Fantasyland, what would you do? That's your magical scenario. Would you change Fantasyland in either park? You can take your pick. And if so, what would you add or take away or alter in some shape, form, or fashion?
Well, I guess for me, this is not so much. Maybe this is more of a complaint.
Oh boy,
that's not the objective.
Okay, so maybe you guys can tell me, because when they did this new Fantasyland, they actually created, and you have to correct me if I'm wrong. One of the areas is the Enchanted Forest. So where Enchanted Tales of Bell, that's designated as like a miniature land. I think it's called the Enchanted Forest. Then you have Storybook Circus, which is where the Barnstormer is, the Dumbo, Casey's Splash Station, and then that gift shop. I have always been a little on the disappointed side with Storybook Circus. Barnstormer is fine. It's great for little kids. Get them on their first roller coaster, blah, 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 blah. Dumbo is okay. I think there needs to be more over there, or give me some sort of dining option, some food over there, something to make it a little bit more appealing to someone like me. And that sounds very selfish. Maybe I'll be a little selfish right now, but make it a little more inviting to maybe the average adult.
Is Storybook Circus actually part of Fantasyland?
I don't consider it technically.
That way. It was part of the new Fantasyland expansion.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think so.
That's the thing. Is
I mean, you're probably
let
right.
Let me check my notes.
I'm not discounting your actual factual statement. I'm just saying, in reality, to me, that's a separate thing. You know, to me, it's the Florida equivalent of, you know, Mickey's Toontown, right? Which I also don't consider to be part of Fantasyland, but you could probably make an argument that it is, since it's right there next to Small World.
Right.
I don't think so. I think it's a little bit separate thing. Now, having said that, I don't disagree with you. It needs something more. It is certainly geared towards the smallest of kids.
Yes.
You could do something that you know, captures more people. And the problem with it being geared towards the smallest of kids is that whole area closes down at like 2 o'clock.
Right.
Not really 2 o'clock. It's like 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock, but it's early. A lot of that stuff, you know, the gift shop, the big top tent where the gift shop is, it closes down. Hey, by the way, that's a great place. You can get in there. You can rest. You can rest behind it.
And they sell treats
there. There is a basically almost a full confectionery stand in
there. That's a good.
All the way down to the caramel popcorn. The full display case and stuff like that.
And that may be a better confectionery than the actual Main Street confectionery.
Yeah, that's a sneaky good.
That's a debate right there.
Yeah. I think so. And so I agree with you. I think they could do a lot more with it. You need more than just Dumbo and the Barnstormer and a splash pad for kids that are fully dressed.
But they did. When they put in Tron, they rerouted where they closed down the train depot.
The train depot is open.
But
there.
It's open now. Yeah. So that's another, okay, that's a positive.
And you have a walkway over to Tomorrowland with Tron. Mm-hmm. You had that before, you know, it's just a little bit different. But I agree, you could do something more there. What would you do, though?
See, I don't know.
See, that's the assignment. That's your problem.
Yeah, that's
so I'll piggyback on that. I would love to maybe make it more, not exactly like Pixar Pier and all of that area in Disneyland, but that type of feel where there's just a little bit more going on. So over at California Adventure, I love Pixar Pier, all the different rides. Maybe just that's what it is just maybe a little bit bigger adult ride. You know, Pixar Pier has the Incredicoaster over there. Yeah. And so, plus there's, I don't know, there's just more, it seems like Pixar Pier has more activity going on than the Storybook Circus area does at Magic Kingdom.
Well, I think when you've got something called Storybook Circus, there's a lot of opportunities
for sure
involving circus attractions that you could make into thrill attractions and less thrill attractions. I would agree. It's interesting. That's not what I would do.
Okay, lay it on us.
To me, this was easy. It came to me right away. I would, I would do something with Cinderella Castle so that it was an interactive experience.
Oh, that's
right?
a good one.
That's I mean, that's cool. a great
look,
one.
That's what I love about Sleeping Beauty Castle. I don't love the fact that it looks so tiny, but I love the fact that you get to go inside and you get to go through the Sleeping Beauty story and you get to see these cool things that they continue to update, right? And Maleficent turn into the dragon and breathe the green fire. Like, that was so cool to me to be able to look at. I don't know why we couldn't have something more... To me, I'm not sure this is true because I haven't been to the other parks, but it seems like I've watched a lot of videos now, and it seems like every castle and every other park, you get to go inside and do something.
Oh, the Paris one is tremendous.
Paris is amazing.
Amazing. And then Shanghai is like
top notch.
You could get lost in it.
Seriously.
It's so huge. Yeah,
it just seems big. It seems such a waste. And part of what's such a waste is, and maybe that's why it's intentionally this way, but you know there's a room in there that people get to stay in on occasion. None of us really know the details of that. We all make it up. But, I'd love to stay there sometime.
Sure.
So I would do something to Cinderella Castle, some sort of interactive, it's open sort of experience and exhibit beyond just the restaurant, beyond just the whatever it is they do to dress up. Bibbidi Bobbidi Boo,
yeah.
I don't have any daughters, so it didn't come to me right away.
It's all good.
All right, I want to amend mine. So back to my original
Storybook Circus.
Yeah, Storybook Circus. So they used to have the gondolas.
Oh, okay.
So they had them at Disneyland. They had them at Disney World too.
Mm-hmm.
So bring the gondolas back. You put a station there at Storybook Circus, and you have it maybe go all the way over to Frontierland or Adventureland.
Okay.
And you could travel that way, maybe see the castle from an aerial position. I think that'd be pretty cool.
Be
fun.
Go with that.
Right. Randy's shrugging his shoulders.
Why not? Yeah. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
As long as it doesn't interrupt Tinkerbell's path, I'm okay with it.
Exactly.
No. We would not interrupt
Don't cross that wire.
Yeah.
We wouldn't interrupt Tinkerbell. No.
Well, awesome. Good to have you back, man.
Thanks for putting up with me, guys.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
All right, give us a like and a follow on Facebook, TikTok, Instagram. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear any comments, any thoughts you have, any questions you have. Maybe there's something that you want us to talk about specifically. We'd love to hear from you. So give us a like and a follow and comment on one of our posts or reels, and we'd love to talk about it.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.